Hello, hello. This is CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. I'm your host, Isaac. This is Word on the Street. And we have a lot of people in here today. Some new faces, some old, just like last week. We're after Nardwar, the Human Serviettes show. So we're going to try to go around with the mics and get ready to just say their name. So we'll start over here.
Hello, my name's Jack. I'm back from last week and excited to get a good discussion going here today.
Hi, I'm Liam. This is my first time ever on Annie Radio, and I'm excited.
Hi, I'm Jasper. This is also my first time on any radio station ever. Hi.
Following the trend here, I'm Gabe, and I'm also, this is my first time on radio. Really excited to be on the collective.
Hi, I'm Ethan. This is my first time for the semester. I'm coming back from last year. Looking forward to the show today.
Hi, it's Isaiah. I'm here a lot.
Hi, I'm Sinead, and I was here last week, but I'm new this year.
Cool. So we have a couple topics for today, but our main idea is talking about songs that are meaningful in content, mostly political, but can also be a hit. So we thought about this before. Does anyone want to start off about a song or just their thoughts in general? What do you think about music that is political?
So there's a long history with politics and music, right? And a lot of people say that everything is political, whether you like it or not. But we're going to point out some pretty blatant examples today of some songs that are going for political influence. And this message is more of, I mean, it is political, but it's more of like a warning, and it's actually a new song from Childish Gambino. It Feels Like Summer, which it does start off sounding quite positive, and it's like a nice vibe, right? It just feels like a summer track, but the lyrics do actually go along the lines of warnings about where we're going with how we're looking at climate change, and is trying to basically give us some awareness. I'll find one lyric here just from the song. Every day gets hotter than the one before, running out of water, it's about to go down. The rest of the track basically mimics that vibe. So I thought that was interesting that he managed to get such a political message in such a lighthearted sounding track.
So is this something that's important to you?
Yeah, personally, sustainability and climate change kind of initiatives is my personal drive for most things I'm doing in my life, and it's nice to hear some more mainstream artists bringing this up in tracks that are cracking the top 40. You know, it's great to hear that coming out, for sure.
Definitely. Anyone else want to say a song or continue that theme about climate change?
I think like Feels Like Summer is a cool song because it's like pretty not subliminal, but like unless you're actually paying attention, I don't think you realize it's about climate change, and also like that isn't a super common topic, I think, in music that I've heard a lot. And it does feel like pretty genuine when it's coming from him, but like one of the things that irks me the most is like songs that like are supposed to be political or like have a message, but you can tell it's not that well thought out and they're just kind of doing it for the sake of having something like interesting or like quote unquote woke. Like,
do you have an example?
Yeah,
or
like,
an artist?
What's that Katy Perry song? Not Firework. Firework. No, Firework is like a simple, like, you know, love yourself song, which I think that's fine. But it's like off her new album. I forgot what it's called. Chain to the Rhythm. That's it. So like if you watch the music video, you can tell it's supposed to be like a dystopian world where like everyone's chained to the rhythm and chained to like society. But like if you actually listen to the lyrics, she's not actually saying anything. It's just like a very surface level, like vague, like the man is controlling us. And like I think that's the worst because it's like it's nothing, but it's like pretending to be more. And I don't know. Like, I don't care if a song's vapid. Like, I like the new Kanye and Lil Pump song. Like, I don't think songs have to have a meaning. I just think, like, if it's for fun, it's for fun. If it's deep, it's deep. Like, as long as it's genuine, that's all that matters.
Definitely. I think kind of adding on to what Jack was saying, there are a lot of songs that are sort of, they have a hidden meaning. Because when you're listening to it, you might not be paying attention to what they're saying. And there's actually a lot more to it. Another example of that from contemporary hip-hop artists is Mad City by Kendrick Lamar. And if you actually think about what he's talking about on the song, it's a lot about adolescence and drug culture and the war on drugs and Compton, because Compton is a very problematic place, and it's something that's brought up a lot in hip-hop. So I'm just going to read actually something that Kendrick said about the song. And, you know, you hear this song at parties, at clubs, wherever. It's a very, like, hype song. But this is what he actually said about this. "I look at society as one big pot of gumbo with just so many temptations. So me hoping for some type of peace is like something I can hope for forever. Or I can get it within one moment, or I can get it within the song. Or I can get it just talking with the kids in the neighborhood. So I always wanted to put that type of vulnerability out there where I've always been the streamer. I'm a realist, but at the same time, what separates me from the rest of my homeboys is the fact that I can dream of this hope rather than just saying, explicit warning for a second here, fuck everybody, and this shit about is about to happen. And I'm about to be on the corner with the homies. That's what it is. That's what separates me from the fact that I dream about that, you know? And that was the one line." So do you guys have any thoughts about these kinds of songs? You know, you listen to it and you think, oh, I like the song, and you might not actually know, oh, there's a really politically charged message. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting with Kendrick too. I'm glad you brought him up, because he has some, like, amazing, like, chronicles of doing this in, like, a lot of different ways. So I know, like, with his album Section 80, which came out before Good Kid, Mad City, it's like it's the exact same kind of thing. It's like it's smooth. You could, like, play it at a party. But there's so many, like, references to the war on drugs and just, like, people whose stories haven't been heard. And it can really, like, if you're just, like, listening to hip-hop, like, as a hip-hop fan who doesn't have any roots in the kind of communities that they're coming from, it can really just, like, if you're listening to it, it can really, like, permeate whatever, like, wall you have up against it, and you can start to absorb it. And then with, like, the rhythm, you can, like, have it flow into you and then have that, like, inform a perspective too. Good Kid, Mad City's great. I think it has, like, a lot of, like, messages to, like, it's, like, kid, like, to kid kind of activism, like, that kid that's, like, growing up, and it permeates that. And then I think, like, To Pimp a Butterfly was, like, it's very poetic. It's, like, kind of objective. It's separated. Like, it gets into all this stuff. And then with Damn, which is, like, quite interesting, because a lot of people will, like, be familiar with that stuff, is that he's almost, like, he's changed. He's elevated. It's, like, now it's aggressive activism. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, trying to, like, communicate all these things that he's been doing so long, like, through anger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just continuing on the Kendrick theme here. I'm also a bit of a Kendrick fan. So with Good Kid, Mad City, I think one really interesting thing about that album is that not just that it has individual songs like Mad City that get into the politics and everything of Compton, but rather the fact that the entire album creates this story about, like, a day in the life of Compton.
Yeah.
And, like, if you really try to pay attention, like, I'll admit I wasn't able to discover it by myself, but, like, if you really try to pay attention, he really paints this kind of story. And, yeah, as someone who didn't grow up in Compton and doesn't know what that life is like, he really does, like, somehow bring you into it as if you're watching, like, a movie or something. Like, it's a really
surreal
cinematic experience, which is why I think he subtitled the album A Short Film by Kendrick Lamar. Like, on the cover of the album, it says A Short Film, because it really does act like a film without the visuals, and that it just really brings you into the life through the political statements that he's making, but also just the kind of cultural statements he's making. He's just, at times, he's just describing what the life is like, and I don't know, I think it makes it just a really, really good album. So full of songs like this and such.
For sure.
And I think, like, the thing about hip-hop and, like, messages in hip-hop, like, it's so prevalent in the genre, but it's also a genre that's, like, written off a lot for being, like, vapid and all about girls and money, and, like, that all has always frustrated me, because you can tell, like, the people and, like, the adults who say that stuff have, like, not even tapped into, like, what the genre is really about. And that's another cool thing about hip-hop is, like, the music's great and it's interesting and it's fun, but also, like, there's this deep message, and, like, it isn't preachy, it's just, like, there, and, like, there for people to absorb, which is nice.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think even sometimes when I tell somebody who's older than me, even if, you know, they're my parents' generation, they get so upset. I'm like, okay, listen to this song. There's a political message, and you can tell, but then they start hearing swear words, and they just dismiss it.
Same.
And I say, no, ignore it for a minute. Just listen what he's trying to say, what she's trying to say. and then I try to show them in context, and then I show the lyrics instead, and they read the lyrics, oh, you're right, but then they can't stand listening to it, and it's really frustrating. And hip-hop is especially powerful because if you rap, like, you can just say whatever you want, you can rhyme however you want, and it blends a lot of genres that are older into, like, contemporary music. Like, just an example, I remember I was listening to, I mean, Frank Ocean is, like, more R&B, but I was listening to Endless, and then my dad recognized the song because he's like, oh, this is, like, a cover, and I didn't even know that. So I think that's another cool thing about hip-hop.
Yeah, I just want to add, just on the whole challenging the audience perspective, like, I don't want to fangirl over Kendrick for the entire hour, but I like to recommend him, especially to people getting into hip-hop, because, like, there's a surface level where you're at the parties and you can get hyped to him, and everybody in the room knows the words, but you have to actually put in work to understand what he's saying. Like, you can't just listen to Good Kid, Mad City first time and get all the messages that he's saying. That's why Damn won the Pulitzer Prize, because you have to put in work to see what he's saying and see all the layers of the story. So it's really inspirational to see rappers challenge people and set an example for other artists. Yeah,
for sure.
I totally agree with Gabe there. Especially with hip hop, rapping is definitely poetry when it comes down to it, and it does take a certain type of, not necessarily listener, but the way you listen to it to really appreciate what's being said. Because it is true, it's like when you read a book, a really good book you read once just for the plot, then you read it again and you appreciate the writing. I think that's probably the same way with a good song.
It makes you think about, like, the gateways as to how people get to hip-hop. I find, like, with us, it's like, as we were saying before, it's, like, easier because you can come there for vapid music that you like to have at a party, and then slowly with exposure you can come into the more, like, other stuff. And that's probably why it's so difficult for a lot of parents or older people to get into it, because, you know, there's, like, that wall of, like, the vapid. Like, I know I've been telling my mom to listen to this stuff for 5 years. She didn't do anything until she heard, like, someone on CBC being like, oh, yeah, you know, Kendrick's, like, the next, like, Jimi Hendrix or whatever. And she's like, well, CBC says I can watch it, then she will. So, yeah, it's just, like, it's sad that it gets lost behind that, like, veneer of, like, vapid and, like, swearing.
I think what's interesting about protest music, not just hip-hop, is regardless of the genre, whenever this genre kind of becomes the zeitgeist of the time and it's used as a way of communicating struggle, it's always approached as, oh, this is garbage, like, what is up with this sound? So if you go back in time to, let's say, the 40s and the 50s, where rock and roll first started to develop, you know, like, you've seen the scene in Back to the Future where he's up on stage playing an electric guitar, and they're like, what is this, right? It's the sound of the time. It stemmed out of political frustration. It was the youth trying to, like, get back at their government. They were angsty. That was the sound that they chose, and it was, like, tackled down just because it was different. If you go further forward in time, you look at the Sex Pistols, punk bands in the 80s, again, it's like this loud, trashy music. People tend to not care about the message behind it. It's just sort of tackled for the sound. But I feel like the beauty of protest music is in the sound and the fact that it's different, and that's what makes it actually stand out and make a statement.
Yeah, I would definitely say, if you have somebody who's dismissive about hip-hop in particular, especially more from our parents' generation, you could say to them, hip-hop to me is like, in your opinion, what your parents thought of rock or punk rock. And then they might think about it and say, oh yeah, I remember how I felt outcasted, like, oh, don't listen to this music, is gonna poison your brain or something, right? Like, and if they think about it in that way, it's kind of an equivalent, then I think you can convince people to give it a chance. It's the same kind of thing.
Continuing along this theme, I have a lot of experience with the whole, like, parents and hip-hop thing. Originally, for a while, like, I only recently got into hip-hop, but for a while I followed along. Like, my music taste developed off my parents' music taste, as I'm sure is the case for a lot of kids. Before they can learn how to find their own music, they just listen to what their parents are playing. But in the past 5-10 years, as I've developed my own music taste, I've now gained the confidence to share that back with them, and If I'm on a long drive with a parent in the car and sitting in the front seat with them, I like to play full long albums, like, for example, the ones that Kendrick puts out. And with my mom, I've actually, over the summer, I've played her To Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City, and Damn, and Untitled Unmastered, like that EP in between Damn and To Pimp a Butterfly. And I played them, and while I was playing them, I made sure that while she was listening, she was paying attention to the hidden messages by bringing a bit of light to them. Like I would turn up the volume when like the skits at the end of Good Kid, Mad City songs came on, so like the speaking was audible and like easy to hear, and I basically just helped guide it through, and she found it really, really interesting, and found it just as interesting as I'm sure she found the music of her time and everything. And I think it can work and help if you have the time to sit someone down and show them like a full piece of art, if be it a song or a full album, and like show it and kind of help them through it to help them understand. And like you said earlier, with showing the lyrics instead of showing the song, like whatever works best. Like I've got to admit, my mom is definitely more open to new music than some other adults. But yeah, I enjoy being able to share that and show people like these meanings and the political messages behind them.
And like, yeah, like we can give our parents some flack for like not understanding our music or whatever, but like it is pretty natural. Like as soon as new stuff pops up and it's like foreign and you don't understand it, like a lot of people write it off. Like even like old heads like like hate all the trap stuff and are like, what is this garbage? But like, oh yeah, Ethan just whispered Eminem. But there's there's also like, I don't know. For like, I find with my parents, like every time I play a Kendrick Lamar song with like a good bass line, my dad's like, "Oh, this is amazing! I love this." But then as soon as there's like no instruments, he's like, "What's happening?" So like, there's starter music, you know, like ease people into stuff, and then like they'll understand the other stuff later.
For sure.
Yeah, I just want to say like, bringing into what can be that hook to bringing people into like political hip-hop especially lies in the samples. Over the summer I really became obsessed with looking into the samples of songs, really got into Lauryn Hill and Nina Simone especially, and so we get to see Nina Simone with Four Women that talking about like the stereotypical roles of black women in that time and how they were seen being revamped into Jay-Z's Story of OJ, talking about how should black men be seen in this time. Where should they put their priorities? And instead of spending all your money at the strip club, you should be focusing on credit, right? And so it really lies in that hook. Like, one of the most popular songs this summer was Drake's...
Nice For What?
Nice For What, which was a Lauryn Hill cover, Lauryn Hill sample. Mm-hmm. And in the 90s, Lauryn Hill doo-wop was the biggest song by female artist. Mm-hmm. And then last year, Bodak Yellow was the second one since, right? So it's all coming back through the samples, I feel, is how to hook that audience into listening to the political messages.
For sure. Anyone have anything else to say about this?
Oh, I don't really have much new to say, but another great example of that, I know we were mentioning it earlier, is Changes by Tupac. I didn't even realize that was a sample until there was like some crappy 80s station playing and I found like the original Changes. I think it's by like Bruce, I want to say like Bruce Hornsby, but that doesn't sound right. Yeah, that's just another example of it.
For sure. I think we're going to fade to a couple songs, and we come back, we'll continue with this. It's okay, I see it. I'll just fade it into what we're playing right now. Don't worry about it. We're going to fade into a couple songs, play a couple ads, and then we'll be back. You're listening to Word on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, any time I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Colombian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
Hello, hello. Just an explicit warning on this next song. There's going to be some swear words in this, so explicit warning.
Synthetic sundown, 45 minutes till the shit set it. Check it for the kid, I had a chin check him, big move. And we teach him big lessons over here. Two folk coming heavy like we bench pressing. And I'm gonna deliver every time just like a sent message. In the south, then I'm feeling like a pimp. You a simp, I don't feel bad for you, I ain't sympathetic. I just hit the peak, got the kids sweating, out of town chick trying to tell her what a big red is. I'm a Kentucky boy to the death, going get it through your head until it's motherfucking embedded. She said that I'm full of myself, go ahead and bust it open, I'ma show you what a big head is. Half of us ain't even got a whip, and we try and grip brain, first step is going get breaded. Hit you with the words of wisdom. Oof. New balance on me while I'm searching for some. Try and touch me out in public cause they hurt them the one. I peel off like my skin when it get burnt in the sun. Self-conscious face blush with ease. Levi's put a taper on my dungarees. But I'm still on the block when it's 103. And humid in the city but I'm sitting comfortably. Yeah. Hey. I'm off a tab with that synthetic sundown. 45 minutes till the shit set it. Hey. Check it for the kid, I had a chin check him, big move. And we teach him big lessons over here. Two folk coming heavy like we bench pressing. And I'm gonna deliver every time just like a sent message. In the south, then I'm feeling like a pimp. You a simp, I don't feel bad for you, I ain't sympathetic.
Hello, hello, we are back. You're listening to Word on the Street. And just to transition here, about 4 years ago this October, I went to my first official concert, besides Wee Day, if you count Wee Day.
No.
Anyway, my point is, my first concert, seeing a headlining artist that was out of choice, I wanted to go see was Nas when he was doing the 20th anniversary of Illmatic. And a lot of hip-hop heads will know this, a lot of people who just like hip-hop in general. Illmatic is often regarded as the best hip-hop album of all time. And when I was listening to hip-hop back, that was probably grade 9 or grade 10, this was totally like an eye-opener for me, because in 40 minutes, Nas showed me all these things I didn't know. I was reading all the lyrics, and it was just like was said earlier, it's like showing you about their lives and the struggles they've been through and their stories. And I just never really heard something from hip-hop that was this complete. And when I went to see it, it was great. He was a good performer, even though, you know, he's like well into his 40s now, still holds up, a lot of longevity there. So my point is, a lot of albums you could say are good or great but what makes an album a 10? 10 out of 10, Anthony Fantano, 10. What is it? What makes it a 10? Who wants to go up first? Yeah.
I would like to start by kind of, I guess, defining an album or giving a bit of a history of the album.
Sure.
Which, you know, I could do for like a half hour, so we'll keep it brief. Albums, as we know them now, are a relatively modern invention. I mean, the term album comes from a collection of vinyl 78 discs, which were just singles that people would put in a literal photo album. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it would be like a playlist of sorts. But I think for a while, I would argue that the album is entirely a creation of rock. And the rock album is kind of what all other albums spin off from. And for a while, the album was seen as kind of a marketing gimmick. You could take a bunch of singles and slap them together, put a picture of the band on the front of it, and then sell a bunch of copies, make a lot of money. But I would say it was in the 60s with, mainly the Beatles' Revolver that really showed the potential of the album as a piece of art, as like a singular testament to the artist's ability, and also as an expression of kind of a singular idea. And I think a lot of what makes an album great, and a lot of what I would like to talk about, is the idea of cohesion of an album.
I definitely agree, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest factor in the like objective goodness of an album, how well it can express a singular theme or an idea, and how well it can stick to that. And when there are songs that don't feel like they fit, I don't think you can call it a good album. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to, you know, take it away with some examples.
I would just want to say, continuing on to that, for me, because I'm such an avid listener of hip-hop in particular, I think, not always, and of course it's dependent on the genre, but there's also sort of like a golden time frame and a golden amount of songs. And since I've listened a lot, and it lines up with Illmatic. I think Illmatic is 10 to 12 tracks, and it's about 40 minutes long. I think for hip-hop in particular, most of the time, if it's 40 to 50 minutes and it's around 10 to 15 tracks, it has potential to be good, and it has potential to be cohesive. A lot of albums, you'll notice, they're often regarded as great, like Enter the Wu-Tang, Illmatic, like Brockhampton's work. A lot of them are around that 40-50 minute mark, and only if you're really great can you hit like an hour 15, like Kendrick. A lot of Kendrick's albums are well over an hour, but you know, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can make 75 minutes, 90 minutes, something that goes well together. I mean, when it comes to rock, when I think of that, I think of Pink Floyd. Like, they have very long albums and they have very long songs. You have a song that's like 20 minutes, but they're regarded as one of the best rock bands of all time because they had that cohesive factor and they could get those political messages across.
Yeah, I feel like a thing a lot of people do now, like especially hip-hop artists, is they'll have like the extra long album because streams, because money. And that's kind of the worst. Like, Migos culture too. Or like Chris Brown. Okay, A, why is Chris Brown still releasing music? B, why was that album like 45 songs? Like something, or 25 songs. Sorry, 45 is a lot. It's like 25 songs.
Yeah.
So now it's like a good money grab to have a lot of songs on an album just because like of how streaming works. So mm-hmm. It's like done a whole other, like it went from a money thing to a conceptual thing, and now it's like kind of back at a money thing for some people,
yeah.
Not everyone.
Yeah, it makes me really sad when people say like, the art of an album is dead, or like an album is dead, because now you see these quote-unquote albums are actually like playlists, like Culture 2,
yeah,
or what have you. But I mean, there are still albums that I think are very cohesive that make sense, like I mentioned before, like Taboo from Denzel Curry. Like, I think that's a great example in the past like 2 or 3 months. Anyone want to add on to this topic?
Yeah, it's a recent one, and it's kind of going against what you were saying about like the albums getting too long. Is Kids See Ghosts by Kanye and Kid Cudi. I mean, you made a joke about Anthony Fantano earlier, and this is his most recent 10 out of a 10 album. Personally, for me, I find it difficult to rate anything 10 out of 10. Same with movies. I can just, it's just if I put something on that level of a rating, like, does that mean everything else is like worse than it? And I'm my favorite artist is Kanye by a landslide, and as much as I love Kids See Ghosts, putting a 10 on it, although I think it deserves it, to me means that all of a sudden all of his other albums are worse, and that means Kids See Ghosts is my favorite. But like, I just can't bring myself to do that because I don't have a favorite Kanye album. But back to Kids See Ghosts more is it's short. It's really cohesive. Like, the songs are all really similar musically and work together really well, and it gives off this really nice unified vibe, and it does it in like, what, 23 minutes? Yeah. And like, at times, like, that feels too short, but the album works in a way that it also feels like the right amount of time. So I was just wondering, does like anyone else have feelings on that album or that kind of shorter style that it really is uncommon these days?
Yeah. When those albums started coming out, specifically just the slew of Kanye-produced albums over the past 6 months, you know, he has the Chance one coming out soon, too, and supposedly another album like next week from himself. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, I was really impressed with that because, at least since I've been paying attention to hip-hop a lot the past few years, I had never seen, first of all, somebody try to make albums, or at least they're going to define it as an album, because a lot of mixtapes are shorter, or EPs are shorter, but he's like, no, these are albums, and these are 20 minutes, and yes, they're good, yes, they work together. And the fact that he produced, what, four or five?
Five
in a couple months? And,
yes,
I mean, released in a couple months, you know, that's extremely impressive, and I think it's just more evidence that he needs to be in the conversation for, you know, he's not just a rapper, he's an artist. And as egotistical he is about that, he's right, I think. And I think a lot of people overlook him because of his, you know, how arrogant he is. But no, he is like an incredible artist. And to, you know, when I'm saying 40 minutes and he chops that in half and it works five times, that's very admirable.
Yeah, I think what you're saying about him being considered as more than just a rapper and then as like an artist, like that's kind of been his driving motivation for the past, like for really his whole career, is like once he got to a point where he was considered like a really good rapper, he then tried to make a push into like
it's okay.
He then tried to make a push into clothing design, mm-hmm. and like shoe design and everything, and now he's even trying to do like architectural design. The point is, yeah, like, he's always pushing himself, but I think like that idea of him trying to assert himself arrogantly as like a multifaceted artist brings up another album that I like to have this kind of discussion around, like cohesiveness and everything, and it's one of his most controversial, and he made it as a response to people like saying like, you're just a rapper, like stop trying to be anything more, and it's mm-hmm. Yeezus, which came out mm-hmm. in 2013.
Yeah, 2013.
And that one's really controversial, and that like that's where you lose a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a very interesting album, and as like a really big fan of his, like I initially didn't really like it as much either, and I think it's like personally I really love the cohesive theme of it. Like, I love the themes of, like, and how it's, like, an album you listen to when you're, like, really angry or, like, really want to get, like, pumped up or something. Like, it's just a very aggressive album. But I still skip some of the songs. But I still consider it a really good album despite, like, not really being able to listen to every song on it. And I think that it brings up a weird situation where, like, on one hand, like, I would personally give it a really good rating because it's got some, like, really good songs, like Bound 2 or Blood on the Leaves or Hold My Liquor. Like, those songs mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. are, like, really, really good. But on the other hand, like, even if the album is thematically cohesive, but there's songs on there that people just don't like on their own, and I sometimes can't even listen in the context of the album, mainly, like, Send It Up, in my opinion. It's interesting. Like, is it a good album? Because like, it works almost really well in the like, by like the standards we've like created here. But at the same time, like a lot of people don't like up to half of the songs on there. You know,
mm-hmm.
so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to add on to that before we cut to another break, I'll make my point and then you can make yours. I think Yeezus, to my knowledge, and of course, this is subjective, is the closest that we get to a mainstream rap album that is close to Death Grips, I would say. It's like the most experimental mainstream album that's come out in a while. So that's just my point. I know that Pantown talks about that a lot too. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment on Blood on the Leaves, which brings up an interesting point, because that's a song that I personally think sounds amazing. Like, I love it by itself. But just, like, the content of it, it's, like, what he's doing is he's taking, like, Nina's, like, a song sung by Nina Simone that was originally a poem called, like, Strange Fruit. And it's about African-Americans being lynched, like, around in the 30s, and he takes it, and then he takes it and he puts it into a breakup song. And it was very, like, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. It's, like, of course, like, artistic freedom and all. But it's kind of, like, it could, like, almost see that, like, happening in Kanye's head. Like, just, like, totally ignoring all, like, the years and years of, like, you know, like, pain and then just being like
Slavery
this.
Slavery was a choice, allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, okay, this.
Quoting Kanye. Quoting Kanye, not opinion.
It's not my opinion.
CITR are not accountable. But it's like he's just going like, okay, this and this, and then I'll put it together and it will be art. And I think that's what he does in like a lot of cases. And he just like really like goes like covers his ears and then just like does what he wants.
I think that's like the most way, like the best way to just describe Kanye West is just
like a little child.
Like he just says things. And I feel like at this point, like they don't, like I don't care what he says. I'm like, whatever. It's just Kanye. And I'm like, I'll still listen to his songs. Like I don't know how people are still getting outraged when he like. That, I didn't know that, but that's, like, pretty rough. And then, like, the whole slavery was a choice thing and, like, the whole Trump thing. This isn't related to anything anymore.
Okay.
So I'm just going to stop. But
I just wanted to follow up on my point for a second before we'll cut to a couple songs. Because I don't think everybody knows who Death Grips is, who's listening, or what?
Are we going to play Death Grips
song? No. Okay. I mean, unless you want to. Like, play Streaky or something like that.
I've seen footage. It's, like, pretty accessible.
But if you play Streaky, then it's newer from the new album.
Is it?
It'll be good.
Insane? I haven't listened to it.
No, I mean, I can manage it. Okay. You know? I was just going to say, like you were saying earlier, Jasper, that a lot of people can't listen to Yeezus who are big Ye fans because it's so different and it's more, like, the trashiest he'll get in sound and most industrial he'll get. And why I compared Kanye to Death Grips is because Death Grips is pretty much Yeezus times 10 most of the time. So that's the point I was trying to bring across. But no, don't worry about it. It's fine. I see that. Okay. So I think we're going to cut to a couple more songs, a couple more ads, and then we'll wrap up the show for today. You're listening to Word on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac.
Kiss me or nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of f***ing crybabies?
That's right, when Super Giant Pizza. Give me pizza! P-I-Z-Z-A. Give me pizza! P-I-Z-Z-A.
It's been said that people disappoint, but pizza is eternal. That adage is being put to the test with Canadians weighing in on pizza, love, and slice etiquette. 6 in 10 Canadians have some type of relationship deal breaker when it comes to pizza, but 1 in 3 have no pizza love limits at all. The top deal breaker was eating pizza in bed at 18%, and closely behind was anchovies on pizza at 17%. Next up were picks the cheese off at 10, eats pizza with a knife and fork at 8%, uses too much garlic dipping sauce at 7%, puts pineapple on pizza at 6%, doesn't eat the crust at 6%, and eats it cold at 4%. So cuddle up on the couch and share some za and some love.
Just gonna give another content warning on the next song. This is explicit.
Take it all or leave it.
I can't sleep like I used to. The world will try to tell you who you are before you get to explain yourself, your thoughts, your motives, and all of your reasons. 2 albums every season, what the hell do y'all believe in? Why the hell do y'all keep reaching? In the evenings when I see them, I tell myself that love will be the thing to keep us from grieving. Need something new to believe in, cause these new niggas will change on you. I mean, they change on you. Why the hell the BBC only writes about me when it comes down to controversy? What's about 3 CDs in 1 year with no label? Then we signed and our story turned into a fucking fable. I was that nigga in a room with no motherfucking cable and no table. Now my mom called me whenever she need her car note, cell phone, whatever bill paid to. Y'all niggas loose. You don't understand why I do what I do, so let me do it. Get the hell on, let me do it. Get the hell on, let me do it.
I don't speak like I used to. I'm thinking of a way to change the world that I move through. I feel like Nicola, what I invent is what I'm true to. I feel for Nicola with these ideas that I grew through. I know that when they see you blow your mind, I'm just abuse you. It's hard to feel what's real. Some nights I'm scared that I'm delusional. I'm scared I'm more like Nicola than I'd ever collude to. I'm scared of what could happen when ideas will consume you. Cause there isn't room for peace I can't achieve.
Thank you for listening to Word on the Street this week. I'm your host, Isaac. Sorry? Okay. Sorry, I see it was talking to me. Anyway, thanks for listening to Word on the Street. We'll be back again next week, same time, 5 to 6 p.m. This is CITR 101.9 FM. And what song are we going to close off with, Isia?
Part of Me by No Name from a new album, Room 25. And it features Felix and Benjamin Earl Turner.
Lullaby rap. Right? Okay, peace out.
Pepperoni smiling over Sony speakers getting a fit. Often off of the shits. It's a party at my granny house. Now birthdays and funerals will only bring the family out. Riddle me no. Politician do a dance for me. Hot potato, Millie Rock, devastation, and kitty bop. Idiot, idiot, itty bitty, resentfulness. Riddle me gone. Chicago go go by. Chicago East Room Savage. Ashes to backstage passes. Ashes to house on Ashland. Chicago go go cozy. Moved to LA County. But on my old life dead. But on my new life dead. But on me, Lord, forgive me.
I am too focused on the part of me that I'm trying to be. I can't pretend I'm not myself. But if you go wipe your shoes for you leave. So you leave my body, don't stop anymore. I am too focused on the part of me that I'm trying to be.
Shaking the dust off my heel lest I get infected. Weekend trips to my auntie's was an antiseptic. The fat boy anorexic ain't admit cause my complexion wrist like an etch of sketches. I'm sculpting the pain in them like Ammonia Lewis. My notebooks less Jesus, more gospel doing this. Hollering, hooping, my niggas is stupid, my niggas is shooting. Your interpretation of that last bar, tell me where you was rooted. Me and mine's amongst the pop law still. I'm talking moonshine, night walking, underground, high stakes. Copper put the chopper on you, make the pupils dilate. Oh, what a drug is fear, oh where the love is close, oh how the grill with the Cooper deal with the overdose that made jealousy dance on the crowd. I've been everywhere, everywhere let me down, worn every hat with a crown, now every head bowed, dear God.
I am too focused on the part of me that I'm trying to be.
Just a heads up, the next show is Radio Pizza Party at 6 p.m., so shout out to them. And thank you again for listening to Word on the Street. We'll see you again next week.
Diggers hovering serpents wonder why. Creator of a manor, a surveyor got a plank tonight. I got tributaries the stream to follow. Wind up shucking shack to meek to make a man out of silos. I've got a collection. Like to show up to the after party. Big dumb coronation. Kinda gets the blood in the dome. And it did it, 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 did it. angels hovering, manta rays wonder why. The cat applaud a statue if you give 750 a night. Now I got tributaries and streams to follow. Wind up shuck and shag to make Jamaica made out of silos. 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 Silos.